Hello and welcome back to Istros Conversations. Here I am at the Union Club in Soho with the Croatian author Jurica Pavicic.
Yes, Pavicic.
And we are going to talk today about his book in English, his latest book in English, which is called Red Water and was published a few months ago, am I right?
Yeah,
By
May.
In May by Bitter Lemon. And has garnered some wonderful reviews, I've seen. So that's a great success. Jurica, can you tell me something about the book? And it's billed as a crime novel, so of course you know that. And maybe talk about why you chose that genre, which is not so common from Croatian writers, I can say. So if you could tell us a little bit about that.
The reason why I chose the crime and thriller genre is simply because I love to read. I love to read thrillers, I love to read crime novels, I love to read good genre literature, which is seldom to find. It's not easy to find. There are plenty of not good, but of course there are lots of good. And I'm very much grew up reading writers like Graham Greene, like John le Carré, like Patricia Highsmith, Ruth Rendell. My canon is very much quite British, and I always wanted to write things like that for many reasons. One of them because I love this element of guilty pleasure, of page turning quality of of the reading. But the second reason is that I think that the social novel was and still in a way is. Crime novel was and still in a way is best continuation of the tradition of the social novel. At the moment when the mainstream novel shifted into psychology and into psychological stream of consciousness, crime novel remained the real cradle of the social novel. If you want to understand how looked America in the 30s, you would read Dashiell Hammett, you know, or writers like this. So
that's a very good point, actually. Yeah. Yes.
And so it's two things that interest me. As a journalist, I'm interested in society, and as a reader, I'm interested in thrill and mystery.
Yes, and it's true that your novel is quite remarkable in that it gives a real picture of Croatia or Dalmatia, perhaps if we want to be more specific, over a 30-year period. 26-year period. So it's true that you get enormous insights into living in a small place, living in the big city, going through the war, and all the changes that happened in Croatia during this time since the breakaway from Yugoslavia, or the fall of Yugoslavia, whatever you want to call it. So did you want to specifically comment on that? Did you want to include that in your book? Is that like an important part for you?
Well, I wanted to write a book about an event initially, a bit like a Big Bang in astronomy.
Uh-huh.
You know, there is one big bang, and then from that moment the space is expanding. So that was my idea. I wanted to have one big event that shakes the destiny of the people, and they go into different directions, physically and emotionally, that otherwise they probably wouldn't. Yeah. I always say that my idea of that book was like an idea of the pool with the balls.
You shake
the first ball, then it hits the second, and all of the sun and all the balls all over
scattered across the.
So that was my idea, to get that kind of the dramaturgy, if I could say so. I needed more time span, and I needed more geographical span. So geographical span means that my characters end up in different places, from Toronto to China Sea. Yeah?
Yes.
But and time span meant that it needs to take time.
Yes.
With that famous 26 years.
26 years, yeah.
And in some other country, maybe if I was a Swiss writer, this 26 years would not have been that dramatic.
No.
But for Croatia, 26-year man, breakup of Yugoslavia, fall of socialist economy, war, initial accumulation of the capitalism, end of the war, beginning of the touristic bonanza in 2000, the real estate crisis in 2008 that hit Croatia a lot.
Yeah.
And obviously, I knew that I had to have that in the book, and for me, I found it interesting to have it as a background plan. It's not the topic of the novel. It's not the topic of the novel is the drama of the family and drama of the people involved in the case. But I found it interesting that relativeness of the of what is important, what is not. For all the other people in the society, these big things are important. For the characters, they are not, because they have their own drama, their own trauma.
Yes.
And it's opposite. Something that is important to them is not important to all of the others, because they are too much involved into bigger picture, into bigger drama. And I wanted to have this contrast.
Very interesting. And I love your analogy with the balls spreading across the billiard table, because in fact you have all the chapters written under the names of the characters, and it's in three parts. So you have all the characters in part one, and then and some new ones in part two, and part three, when we get a kind of conclusion, I can say.
Yes.
And how difficult, I know you've talked about how difficult it was for you to get that structure together in your mind and on the paper. Perhaps you could tell us again here.
Oh, I am kind of the writer who writes when he's prepared. I plan my books thoroughly. My technique is more of a screenwriter. I want to have a structure predefined, and I don't write unless I'm sure what I'm writing. So for me, that initial step, finding a structure, was very long, much longer than usual, which is untypical for a crime novel, because usually crime novel tend to be structurally relatively similar. Mm-hmm. In this case, it was not so. And I was looking for a proper formula. And for a long time, I was thinking that I may organize a book around the discovery, a bit more classic, like a classic crime novel. Uh-huh. Discovery of something that I'm not going to say what is it.
Yeah, we know.
What is it?
Yeah, yeah.
And then go back and forth in time.
Uh-huh.
It didn't work. I remember that I lost 4 or 5 months copy-pasting pieces, bits of the text, not solving the problem. And then I said, okay, it doesn't go that way. It has to be chronological. Mm-hmm. But to be chronological, I had to scatter even more the points of view, had more focalization points, and more characters involved into being not narrators, because there is no first person, but points of view.
Yeah.
And at some point, I found this formula. I said, "This is it. I'm happy with it." And at that moment, writing itself went very smoothly.
Once you had the structure,
mm-hmm.
it could come out. No, mm-hmm. it works brilliantly.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also interested to hear again, if you would, about your character of the detective, the police detective,
mm-hmm.
Gorky Shain, right?
Yep.
He's a very interesting character, and he doesn't remain a policeman through the whole story. He changes profession, but that's also a kind of comment on modern Croatian life, right? So can you tell us a bit about that? Because, you know, it's very different from a private eye in an American crime novel, or, you know, a village police officer in Agatha Christie, or, yeah.
So Gorky Shain is the son of the hero of Tito's partisans resistance. He was a hero in the Second World War, coming from a little island in Dalmatia, which was very much involved into resistance, because they opposed the Italian occupation. And he is a son of the hero who is well known. I even put that they made a film they made during the Yugoslavia. They made a film about him, mm-hmm. which Gorky Shain thinks the film was lousy. and obviously he works in the police. He is trying to be a good professional, but everybody in police, he is a golden spoon fed son of the elite, that he's privileged because he is a son of whoever he is. And in a way, he's trying to be even better because of that. And then happens that the main motive of the novel, the disappearance of the teenage girl from that little tiny town, which is called Misto, and he is the one who is supposed to find it. He underestimates the problem, because you know how it goes with the teenagers disappeared. Usually, come back within 48 hours by themselves.
Yeah.
After they lost the adventuristic spirit, but it didn't happen. he failed. And in the meantime, the system had changed. It's the last autumn of socialism. In the 90s, the regime changed, the country changed. And suddenly his family name and his father is not a privilege anymore, it's an obstacle. His name is Gorky, as a Maxim Gorky, as a communist writer. So his father even gave him a name which became now a burden. And they would probably sack him from the police anyway. But the fact that he failed with finding a girl is obviously good reason to sack him anyway. Yeah. So he started to use his investigative skills, because he's a good policeman, for something else. And that something else is to investigate people and find people who would be willing to sell plots of land for real estate investment. He becomes a aide in a real estate speculative business. And in a way, in a bitter irony, he always says that, okay, you wanted capitalism, I didn't want it, but now you have it.
Yeah.
And now I have it, and I'm good with it. He became quite wealthy. He's economically.
Yes, you mentioned his car being a very good car.
Car. Yeah. But anyway, I wanted him to have a bit of bitterness. You would all the time think, okay, if he could change her, he would rather be a policeman than doing this. Mm-hmm. And anyway, his job after many, many years, almost 20, more than 20, dragged him back into the same village where the crime took place.
Yeah,
which is ironic because since at that time he was investigating, he knows everyone there. He knows every house. He has a good memory, as every good policeman. He has a good memory. He knows everyone. He knows who lives in which house, who had children, that children should
and
have
who
grew
owns
up,
which plot of land.
Who owns which plot of
that's
land.
The important,
and but obviously his arrival ignites all the spirits are back, suddenly back.
Mm. No, it's a genius, I have to say. The way you've brought that together with all in the last few chapters, I was absolutely hooked. You're quite critical about real estate tourism and those kind of, let's call it, rough capitalistic things that have entered into your society. I know that you're a journalist and that you're from Split, and Split journalists are known for being pretty critical and pretty hardcore. So tell me, what was the reaction to your book? Did you...
Being critical about tourism is not very something very radical in Croatia. It's a very mainstream position because Croatian tourism is uncontrolled. It is completely unsustainable, and it's an avalanche of the people. I always try to defend tourism when it's too critical, because I always say to the people in Croatia, it's not that we had a very good industry and very good economy and then tourism came destroyed. It's not like that. We had a situation in the 90s that we lost everything. There was no industry, there was no economy. People were very... all the pre-existing socialist economy disappeared, and suddenly came the tourism. People just grabbed it, and they grabbed it in a way like hungry man grabs the food and starts eating, devouring without control. And so in a way it became a monoculture, which is very, very wrong in many aspects. First of all, because tourism is economy with a very low multiplicative factor, which means you never get wealthy. I mean, if you become wealthy with tourism, then Maldives would be a rich country and not Norway.
Yeah.
Second reason is that tourism tends to make other types of economy impossible, because real estate is too expensive, workforce, you don't need a very skilled workforce for tourism.
Yeah, good point.
And third reason is that tourism is quite risky, and it's becoming even more risky with climate changes, which in my opinion, they are going to eradicate this kind of the Mediterranean southern beach tourism is going to disappear within 10-15 years. I'm sure about it. So what's going to happen then? I can imagine, you know, when you're coming to Adriatic, then you always see the ruins of the dilapidated former communist factories. There is even kind of the ruin porn fascination with it. There's lots of tourists, especially hipsters, who photograph that. And
yes,
I wouldn't be surprised that we do the same way we do with the hotels in 2040, 2050.
Interesting. So in your book, it's the barracks, the Yugoslav army barracks. Then fast forward 20 years, it could be the hotels.
It could be the hotels.
No, that's a very interesting. I think your book really gives a very interesting history of social history of Croatia, as well as giving a great story. And I wish it much success.
Thank you.